I have a happy announcement to make. One that's going to force us to do some biblical reflection. Last year, we meditated on one gospel where Jesus had compassion for a blind beggar by the roadside. And what he did is he asked the apostles to bring that beggar to him. So they were the intermediaries. So we reflected on that and we realized we're being called to do the same thing. And so that made us reflect on our parish vision to love like Jesus. And so we said last year, it's time to act on the decision we had taken to donate 10% of our parish collection to those in need. So basically, 2 years ago, I proposed this idea to you. I said, give me feedback. You all had the chance. And 100 of you said, great idea. 7 of you said, we have some reservations. And then last year, knowing that we decided we're going to go with this, I asked, give us some suggestions. Who is God asking us to support? So today, we're ready to donate that money. Our annual collection last year was $414,000, so we want to donate $41,400 this year. So I have a question for all of you. How does that make you feel? Praise God. Okay. Yeah. So some of you are excited. I'm excited. But some of you might be actually a bit hesitant because it sounds good in theory. Okay, yeah, 10%. But when you actually see $41,000 going out, oh, you get nervous. You're thinking, hang on, Father Justin, we need that money. So this is where we need to listen to God's word today. The gospel starts off by referring to the Pharisees who were lovers of money. Anyone here a lover of money? No one would ever say yes. We would never say we're lovers of money, but we're very tight with it. We're very aware to be safe with our money. We don't spend it lavishly on other people. And if we were to ask the Pharisees, hey, you guys lovers of money? Of course they'd say no, but they are lovers of money. And we could prove it, because if we asked them, would you give 10% to help the needy? Of course they wouldn't. So Jesus directs the parable to them and to us. It begins this way. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. There's a lot in this text right here. I'll quickly explain it. The rich man's purple is associated with royalty. He didn't just feast regularly, but every day. His gate, it's a sign of separation from others. It says that Lazarus lay there, but literally in the Greek it says he was laid there. Someone else laid him there, probably because he was crippled. The crumbs he wanted that would fall from the rich man's table, they're actually pieces of bread that rich people would use to wash their hands, and then they would chuck away. And finally, the dogs licking his sores would be adding insult to injury, because a dog licking a Jewish person is insulting. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames. Notice that Lazarus doesn't get a burial. The rich man can afford it. And you notice that even after death, the rich man still thinks of Lazarus as a servant. Get him to do this for me and for my family. So he wants mercy for himself, but he won't show mercy to other people. And he says, Father Abraham. So he thinks just because he's Jewish, he's going to be saved. Not enough. St. John the Baptist, earlier in the gospel, he said this, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. And you know the worst part about this rich man? He knows Lazarus's name. This poor man is dying outside his gate. The rich man knows him, and he still chooses to do nothing about it. But Abraham said, child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us. Pope Benedict says, commenting on this parable is about an awakening. Jesus is trying to awaken us. And Pope Benedict says, the Lord wants to lead us to toward true wisdom, to discern the real good. So what we're doing with our money, it's an awakening. This is something really positive. This is what Christians should do. This is what Catholic churches should do. Now, here, I'll give you four other considerations. Number one, we want a parish center. We're fundraising for a parish center. We need that money. Actually, I want the parish center because I know if we have this beautiful space, we'll be able to have even more spiritual growth. It's actually going to give us spiritual growth. I saw it at St. Paul's. I told you this before. But here's the thing. The poor and the needy, they also need that $41,000, and they need it more than us. Number two, generosity is not really measured by how much we give. It's measured by the sacrifice it entails. So we always talk about sacrificial giving. That's a theme that we always talk about at this church. It has to hurt. If it doesn't hurt, you're not being generous. The way we measure, are we giving like Jesus? Yeah, it hurts. That's when we know it's a sacrifice. Number three, at the Last Supper, Jesus asked his apostles, when I send you out with no purse or bag or sandals, did you lack anything? They said, nothing. So think, if you've ever given sacrificially before, have you ever lacked anything? Yeah, we don't. God always takes care of us. I asked Angela Chung a year and a half ago when we started our biggest fundraising year ever, and we had the best fundraising year ever. We raised $1.2 million. That's unbelievable for us. And Angela Chung got us kickstarted. She publicly said she's giving $55,000 to the parish center. So I asked Angela this week, I said, Angela, when you made that donation, did you lack anything? She said, definitely not. I don't feel a financial burden. Nothing is lacking. And number four, we need to stop thinking that this donation is something extra to who we are. No, this is part of who we are as Christians. And so we put this right into our budget. Our budget for the year, 10% will always go to those in need. Right now we're in the season, right now for September, October, November, we keep on talking about being made for mission. God has called us on a mission to love like him. And so one spiritual gift we want to celebrate is the spiritual gift of giving. Now, this isn't just ordinary giving when we give like that. There are certain people among us who have this spiritual gift. And what it is they give with extraordinary generosity. And what happens is money comes to them. They find money. They make money and material goods, and they keep on giving it to other people with this extraordinary generosity. There was a widow. I read a story from Sherry Waddell, and her name's Edith, this widow. 2 years before she retires, she has this big conversion, and she gives her whole life to Jesus. And so she starts giving thousands of dollars away. And she says she's having the time of her life doing it. And Sherry Waddell talks to her, and Edith was laughing. She said, if my children had any idea how much I'm giving away, they would have me locked up. I literally cannot outgive God. As soon as I give money away, it keeps coming back to me in the most unexpected ways. The government has contacted me twice to tell me that they owe me money. Who ever heard of anything like this? Now, to have this spiritual gift of giving, this extraordinary generosity, you don't have to be wealthy. What you do is you see yourself as an instrument of Jesus. God keeps on giving material goods and money through us, and we keep on giving it out, and he takes care of us, and we love it. We love taking care of other people. Someone donated to our chapel renovation, and we thanked him. We said, wow, that's very kind of you. And he said, well, that's okay. It kind of makes me want to give more. It's wonderful. It's a joyful thing to be generous. We also pray that if we do what Jesus asks us to, we become true Christians, and then people will look at us and they'll see a good witness. And hopefully non-Christians will say, yes, I want to explore Jesus. They will start being invited to Jesus through a good witness.